Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 84. Verse 11. The Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. There is a certain thing that we Christians have to understand. Because we face challenges and the challenges are brought from God, because we live in a world system that's controlled by our enemy, because God didn't intend for everything to be peaches and cream, we'd never grow that way. We can get distracted and we can also get deceived from understanding this one point, which is an extremely important point for us to keep in our frame of reference. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And then it tells you how that works. Blessed is the man who trusts in you. The word uprightly is the word tamin. And it's talking about truth, virtue, and uprightness, and righteousness. Implicit in the meaning is the finished work of Christ. So it's not just self-defined or socially defined virtue or righteousness. It's the righteousness that Christ brings that's given to us because of the finished work. And that word actually describes a relationship with God. So you could paraphrase it in this way. No good thing will he withhold from those who have a finished work of Christ-based relationship with Christ. Now, there are things that are going to be done that are going to happen. We do live in kingdom warfare, for example. We do need challenges, because those challenges, not only do they cause us to grow, but they are also often the basis of our eternal rewards. Satan tries to take advantage of this. In Genesis 3:4, after Satan challenged Eve, did God really say that you can eat of any tree but not this one, implying not the best one? And she answered, we can eat of any of them except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're not going to eat from that or touch it. And that was a mistake. And then he said to her, you will not surely die, which means dying, you will not die today. And then he continues in verse 5, for God knows that in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. This is a very deceptive lie. He tells people this also. What he's saying to her is, God withholds something. Something you desire. God will withhold it. But God says he withholds no good thing. Satan says, yes, he does withhold some good things. Indeed, he does. What we have to understand in Genesis 2:17 is when God says no, it's to our protection. It's not to deny us that which is good, it's to protect us from that which is evil. He gave the prohibition against the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? So they wouldn't have knowledge of good and evil? They already had knowledge of good and evil. They were taught by God every single day in the cool of the day. It's because in Ezekiel 31:18, the tree of knowledge was Satan's tree. And the problem wasn't with knowing what's good and evil. The problem is in the way they came to know it. They came to know it in a way, according to the definition of the original word for knowledge, that was by hearing or seeing or some other natural source. It was not from the definitions of God. God gives definition by which we can discern good and evil. Satan says, figure it out apart from God, what feels good, what looks good, what sounds good. That's what's good. If it doesn't feel good, if it doesn't sound good, if it doesn't seem good to you, if it doesn't look good, then it's evil. But that's not how things actually work. That's the bill of goods that Satan sold to Eve. He said, you can know God is trying to withhold from you. It's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. You can figure it out yourself. You can be holy like the angels are holy, and that's what Eve was revealing when she said, we shall not touch it. Ezekiel 31 tells us that the trees were associated with angels. Each tree had an associate angel to it. Eve was accustomed to fellowshipping with angels. She admired their holiness. That's what she was revealing, because a holy angel would never touch Satan's tree. And so Satan sells her this bill of goods. God is trying to withhold something for you. He says no good thing will he withhold, but he's actually trying to withhold some good things from you. Some things you would like, some things you would benefit from. It happens all the time. Young people will grow up in churches where the preachers are good, and they tell young people, God teaches no touch love. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Don't get into a physical relationship until you're married. And this is truth. And Satan says, oh, well, they just want to control you. You can have something pleasant. You can have something fun. You can have something you'll enjoy if you get into a physical relationship. What's he doing? He's addressing your hormones. It's astonishing. I've heard it for years and years. A 15, 16, 17-year-old say, I'm in love. And you know very well they have no clue what they're saying. And you want to say to them, and in some case I did, no, dear, you're in hormones. You're not in love, you're in hormones. Your body's waking up, that's it. But you're confusing it with love because you don't know what love is. And then they get into these relationships and they get physical, and then they pay a very deep price for doing things they should have never been doing until they were married. The price is immense. I'm not going to get into that right now. That's not the purpose of the message, but I will tell you the price is huge. Much worse than they ever thought it was. Because in some cases, in many cases, it affects the rest of their lives. God says no to protect. That's the only reason God says no. God says no to protect. For example, God told Israel, do not eat the unclean animals in the days of the law. Then with Peter, he says, go ahead, Peter, kill and eat. Don't call anything unclean that I have cleansed. Go ahead, kill and eat it. Why was that the case? Because the unclean animals carried bacteria and other pathogens that would make them sick. They didn't understand those things in those days, but God did. And so there was a reason why God said no. God said no to protect, not to withhold, but to protect. The only thing he was withholding from them was bad results. God still does that. The only thing he withholds from you is bad results. People say, this is what I really want. God's not giving it to me, but this is what I really want. I can see in my imagination the benefit of it. There's a problem with that. God knows the outcomes. We can't see anything. When we have a fantasy, and that's what it is, it's a fantasy, our fantasies are always perfect. But God knows the reality. In our fantasies, there are no flaws. We fantasize about a person, a place, a type of job, what have you. They're always without flaws. They're fantasies. Fantasies are always perfect. the reality never lives up to the fantasy. And so you have a whole lot of discouragement, disappointment, problems that were unexpected. When my family came to this country, they were shocked. My folks were shocked. Because in our country, the only thing you knew about the United States was what the movies showed you. And they didn't show you the reality. They literally thought that money just was handed out. They didn't show you the reality. And then they ended up in a slum. And that's where the reality came in. Now, in their case, they worked through it and they actually did live out the American dream, but the American dream was not without effort. What I'm saying is, Satan sells you this bill of goods. You can have, but God says no. And God says, I withhold no good thing from you. In Hebrews 3:14, we have become partakers of Christ if we hold to the beginning of our confidence, steadfast to the end. Confidence is hypostasis, and it's talking about the basis of our assurance. It's not simple belief. It's trust with confidence. Now, simple belief, that really doesn't do a lot. In James 2:19, the devils believe and tremble. This is talking about a Hebrews 11:1 confidence, an assurance that has substance and evidence in that faith. And so we have this source of confidence, not just believism. Our confidence is based in the Word of God because we know the love of God. Our confidence is based on the fact that God cannot lie. Our confidence is based on the fact that every promise of God is yes and so be it. Our confidence is based on the fact that He loved us with an everlasting love, and that He will not withhold, not only not withhold any good thing, but He'll supply everything that we need. Therein is our confidence. Now, Isaiah 46 tells us in verse 10 that He knows the end and the beginning. From the get-go, He knows the outcome. He knows all the possibilities. So when I say to myself, oh, this is what I would like, and this would be so nice, and this would be just like this, and this is how it would work out, and God says, you don't have a clue. Because you don't know the outcomes. You see in a fantasy that's not realistic, but it's perfect. I know the outcomes. I know the reality of your choices. I know if you choose this, this will happen. God knows all that. He knows the possibilities. He knows how all the possibilities would end up. He knows all that. We say to ourselves, oh, this would be perfect for me. God says, you have no idea. Not in every case, of course. There's a lot of things He desires to give us, the desires of our hearts. Yes, we just have to make sure that the desires of our hearts are right. And there's a way to do that in John 15:7. If I keep myself in the love of God and the Word of God in my frame of reference, then I can ask Him for anything I want and He will give it to me. Yes. But there's a precursor to that. There's something that's required. I have to keep His love in my frame of reference, His Word in my frame of reference, and then I can have anything I desire. But I can't have it apart from that. Because I'm going to live in something that's not reality. I'm going to have an expectation that's not realistic. That happens to people all the time. That happens to Christians all the time. It's like that one couple. They were called to Africa on the mission field. They didn't want to go because Africa has malaria primarily. And then also it has difficult conditions in many places, difficult compared to here. And they were not up to that challenge, they thought. So instead of going to Africa, they went to Florida. they thought they could change something because of their natural expectations, saying, no, this is going to be better for us than what God has called us to. And in Florida, they had a car accident and their children were killed. In that easy place. They would have been better off in Africa. You see, God knows the outcomes. Now, God's way is perfect. He allowed it for a reason, and God is redemptive, so He'll redeem their situation. Yes. But God knows the outcomes. God knows the purpose. Ultimately, they went to Africa. You see, God knows these things that we don't know. Satan took advantage of that with Eve. God knew exactly what would happen if they ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Eve believed the lie. And Satan works with lies. The real question in Job 13:15 is, will you trust Him? Will you trust God even though you can't see the outcome? Will you trust God even when your fantasy tells you of another possibility that's perfect for you versus what God has for you? Will you trust God? Ultimately, that's what God is saying. That's what our confidence is, trusting God. Because we can't see a nanosecond into the future. God sees all of it. Past, present, and future. It's sitting right in front of Him. He sees it all. In 2 Corinthians 5:6, we are always confident, for we walk by faith and not by sight. That word confident is different. That one is thereo, and it means confidence that is bold. We don't have just confidence. We're bold with our confidence. We don't just have a foundation on which to trust God and be confident in Him. No, we are bold in this. Why? Because we walk by faith and not by sight. Because we don't evaluate by the natural thinking. We don't evaluate by what things look or sound like. We don't evaluate by fantasies without a basis in reality. We don't evaluate by those things. We don't say to ourselves, well, that seems like it could be good. No, we trust God. This is why we're bold, because we have the one who tells us what the truth actually is. And we're guided in that truth in John 16:13 by the Holy Spirit. So not only do we have confidence, we have boldness with our confidence. We can say, no, I'm right in this. People are not going to understand that. Well, you're arrogant. You think you're always so confident. You think you're always so right. You think you've always got it together. You're arrogant. They don't get it. It's not that you're arrogant. It's that you trust God and you believe what He's telling you. That you trust the relationship that the Holy Spirit has to you more than the relationship that you have toward the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? A lot of Christians will say, well, I have the Holy Spirit. I can hear from God. I'm not interested in that. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit's love for me. I'm trusting the Holy Spirit's confidence toward me in His ways. I'm trusting that which He says for me. I'm trusting His ability to guide me. And I'm trusting in the fact that He guides me in all truth. Therefore, I can be bold because I know why I think what I think. I know why I do what I do. When I do that, I can do that. When I'm fearful, when I'm trying to base it on, well, this is my relationship to Him. And I'm working upward rather than allowing Him to work downward. This is my relationship to Him. What is that going to depend on? That's going to depend on me. But I know better than that. If I'm saying it's about my relationship to Him, I'm going to have trouble. But when I realize that's about His relationship to me, I'm going to be confident. And the promises of God, which I completely can believe, those promises are going to give me that ability to be bold in my confidence. Do you guys understand this? This is key. This is how you keep from making bad mistakes. But you need some confidence because you live in a war where Satan is telling you God's going to withhold something from you. We're always confident. We're always bold. Because we live by faith. We don't live by sight. Sight in your walk with God. Natural understanding in your walk with God. Going by what things seem like in your walk with God is the great deceiver. The natural mind, that's the condition, the state of being deceived. It only leads to confusion in 1 Corinthians 2:14. You don't need to use your natural mind, you need to use the mind of Christ. The natural mind is the state of confusion, of deception. That's where the enemy wants you. Because then you can't receive anything from God. Then the Holy Spirit cannot lead you in all truth. That person's already deceived. The amazing thing is they can't receive anything from God because it's spiritually discerned. Therefore, they can't see the mistake they're making. It's not a mistake in somebody's opinion. It's a mistake relative to the Word of God, relative to that which is absolutely truth. The Holy Spirit is not going to guide you into error. But the natural mind can't avoid error. In John 17:16, Jesus said, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Accept that it's reality. You're not of the world. If you are born again, you are not of the world. Jesus said, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." You're in the world, you're not of the world. How are you going to function here? Only the word of God is capable of giving you the truth regarding everything. It is the truth. Remember, by His word, the worlds were created. He is the truth. We receive the truth through the word of God. Living in that truth, in 1 Corinthians 2:16, is having the mind of Christ. When you have the mind of Christ, you have a real relationship with Him. This is the foundation of our confidence. And so because I know Him, and I know Him because He knows me, He gives me His word and I get a relationship with Him. It's initiated by Him and has an effect in me. And so He gives me His word, I have a relationship with Him. He gives me His mind and I get to have unity with Him. He gives me His thoughts and I have clarity from Him. It works like that for everyone. The mistake that believers make sometimes is they try to get clarity outside of that. The world teaches us to do that. But the world is in the hands of the evil one, Satan, our enemy, and Satan is the great deceiver. Just like he deceived Eve, he wants to deceive us. If he succeeds, then we're going to make decisions on the basis of deception. We can make decisions on the basis of truth. That's how we are sanctified. In Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." With your entire frame of reference, you trust Him, not just believism. But faith with boldness and confidence, knowing with certainty that God cannot lie. Knowing with certainty that His promises cannot fail, knowing with certainty that no matter what, you are His beloved, knowing with certainty that no matter what, He is looking out for your benefit. When you have that certainty, you can have that boldness, you can have that confidence. People will not understand it, but you'll understand it. People don't understand it because the natural man cannot understand the things of God. You, if you don't live in the natural man, not only will you be able to understand the things of God, you'll be able to enjoy living in the things of God. Having an experience that God had intended rather than striving somehow for a relationship with no foundation. Trust in Him with all your frame of reference. Now, I say frame of reference, hearts does refer to frame of reference, not just with your mind. Your thoughts have a basis. That basis is your frame of reference. For example, a four-year-old mom tells the four-year-old, do not play in the street. You can get hurt that way. The four-year-old now has a basis for their thoughts regarding playing and regarding playing in the street. Mom says, you can play in the backyard, it's safe. You cannot play in the street. The four-year-old now has a basis for their thoughts. Backyard, it's safe. Street can be dangerous. That becomes their frame of reference. The Word of God provides a frame of reference. It doesn't just provide the thought. The thought is provided by the Holy Spirit once the frame of reference is established in the Word of God. That's what it means, guide you in all truth. Then the Word of God will give you the thoughts through the Holy Spirit, but the Word of God first has to be your frame of reference, the foundation of your thinking. If you don't have that, you're going to have a hard time. So why do we tell people, get the Word of God into your frame of reference? So you have a foundation for your thinking, so that the foundation is not what Satan has provided through the natural man utilizing the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Christians even do this all the time, but they try to keep it at the good side. Go for that which seems good to you. What seems good to you is not relevant. You don't know. And you have no way of figuring it out. You're not God. So you don't go by just what seems good to you. You trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that does necessarily mean in verse 6 that you acknowledge Him in all your ways so that He can direct your path. Now in verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Do not go to the tree of knowledge of good and evil and think it's giving you some form of wisdom. It's not. Do not use your natural mind and your natural understanding and think it's going to give you some form of wisdom. It's not. It's just going to deceive you because that's what the deceiver does. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Evil is Satan's government. It's not just nastiness or wickedness or something like that. No, it's Satan's government. Through fear of the Lord, you depart from Satan's influences in your life. To the natural man, this is foolishness. Because the natural man is already in a state of deception. That's his condition, deceived. He can't recognize the truth. He can't recognize reality. He's still deceived. That's why the natural man is always oriented to himself, because he is deceived. And that self-orientation keeps him deceived. In 1 John 5:4, everyone who, having been born of God, overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. You overcome the world by faith, so you need the Word of God in Romans 10:17. Without that, you won't have that faith. Now, because that faith is necessary to overcome the world, and the world is in the hand of the evil one, without the Word of God, you will not be equipped for anything, and the enemy will take advantage. He took advantage of Eve, then he took advantage of Eve's relationship to Adam. Then he took advantage of their corrupted relationship to each other. He keeps taking advantage of this. Without the Word of God, you cannot be equipped because you don't have a mind to think with, even though you may believe that you do because you have impulses flying through your brain. But impulses flying through your brain are much different than having a mind to think with. So you may have a view, an opinion, a thought, what you call a thought, but it's not based in truth. Only if it's based in the Word of God is it based in truth. So if you don't have the Word of God, you have no foundation. You're not equipped for anything. Something good will happen to you and you're not going to be equipped. It's going to be mishandled in some way or another. Something bad happens to you and you're not equipped. It's going to be mishandled in some way or another. Because you're not equipped. We need that equipment of the Word of God. We need to have a mind to think with. We say to ourselves, well, I have my own mind. I don't need God's mind. I have my own mind. Yeah, we see the results in the way the world is going. The world has its own mind also. The world has gone insane. Don't say to yourself, I can think apart from the Word of God. You're already deceived. And the outcomes will reveal it. The world says we don't need God. Look at the world. The world is a dangerous, nasty place. Because they said to themselves, we don't need God. They're proving themselves wrong. A person says, I don't need God. And then the person can't handle anything, including good things. Good things will either be consumed on self or somehow misused in another way, or bad things, if you will, bad things, challenging things, they can't handle them because they're not equipped. You're not equipped just by being alive. You're equipped by having the Word of God in your frame of reference. Without that, you're not equipped. It doesn't matter what you think apart from the Word of God, it's not truth. You can be sure if you're in that condition that the enemy will take advantage. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world has blinded people's minds, which don't believe. If you don't have faith, you're already blind. That faith only comes by the Word. If you don't have faith, you're already blind. You're already deceived. Now, those moments of time will be eliminated. You don't actually even have life as far as God goes in those moments that are apart from faith. Those in Romans 14:23 being sin are removed by the blood in 1 John 1:9 out of time in Psalm 103:12. So you're wasting away a life, your life. It's astonishing how many people will go down that road, but you don't have to. In Jeremiah 8:5, why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetually backsliding? They hold fast deceit and they refuse to turn. Why do people backslide? They hold on to deceit. Deceit there is the word tarma in the original language. It's deceitfulness, deception, and delusion. They hold fast to their delusions. They hold fast to their deceptions. They are deceived. They don't want to let it go. They live in a delusion. They hold that delusion. They will not yield that delusion to truth. And so they backslide. One of the biggest reasons why Christians backslide is because they think God is withholding something from them. They think there's something to be gained apart from God, and He doesn't want them to have it, in 2 Timothy 4:10. Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar, and he's a thief. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is a liar. Don't buy into the lie. Unfortunately, a fair number of believers will believe his lies. Don't buy into the lie. If it's not from the Word of God, it's not the truth. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, it's not the truth. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it's not the truth. Don't buy into the lie. Jesus called him a father of lies and a liar. He said if he speaks a lie. Don't buy into the lie. He might tell you, oh, you can have something that God wants to withhold. Just go after it. That's called backsliding. Don't buy into the lie. Why do people backslide? Because they bought into the lie and they refuse to let go of the fantasy that the lie produces. It's going to have bad results. Because it cannot have good results. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. It's going to have bad results if you buy into the lie. If you buy into the truth, it's going to have good results. You can't change that. You buy into the truth, you live in the truth, you trust the truth, you confidence in the truth, it's going to have good results. Because the tree cannot have anything other than what it's able to produce. So you go to the right tree. In John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Only God can give superabundant life. It comes through the cross in Galatians 2:20 and Ephesians 2:15 and 16. And in Romans 5:8, it makes you one with the love of God. Only God can give superabundant life. So what happens if I think I can have something that God is going to withhold from me, but I think I can have it, and I think I'm going to get it because I think it's going to be beneficial to me. I think I'm going to have something good coming out of it. I'm going to have some desire met from it. What's going to be the outcome? Only God gives superabundant life. Satan comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He'll deceive me to get me there. He promised Eve. He did not deliver. But he promised, and she bit unto the promise that was a lie. Young people in particular, be careful about this. You will face it. You're not going to have a choice. You live in this world. You're here to be lights of this world. That's why God has you here. You're here to reveal Christ to a lost and dying world. You're here so that people can have hope in desperate situations. That's your place. That's your call. That's why you're here. Satan's going to try to rob that. Not only you, but them as well. Those who you would touch will be robbed also. Don't let him rob you. It's not hard. You just have to stay in the truth. The truth will protect you. You just have to stay in the truth. Because Christ is a shield. Psalm 84:11. Christ is a shield. He is a protector. He takes care of us. As long as we stay in the truth. If we step out of the truth, he'll let us have the consequences of our decisions. So we stay in the truth. In Hebrews 10:35, do not cast away your confidence. The word cast away is apobolo, and it means to lose. Do not lose your confidence, and this is what happens to Christians sometimes. They don't stay oriented to the promises of God, they stay oriented to their circumstances, perhaps. Whatever difficulty or challenge they are facing. Those come in Romans 5:3-5 so they can know the love of God. They come so they could receive eternal rewards. But if that's all I'm staring at, it's going to become discouraging. You're going to lose your confidence that way. But here he says, don't lose your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of patience. So after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. What's the promise? Well, John 10:10's the promise. He came to give superabundant life. So that you may receive superabundant life. We win or lose depending on our confidence in the Word of God in John 12:48. Don't lose your confidence. A lot of people lose confidence and they backslide. Don't lose your confidence. Your confidence is given to you by God. You're intended to possess it, and it will not fail you so long as it's established in His Word. Never lose your confidence. Losing your confidence means you'll be robbed. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.